Every day, children are kidnapped, abused, molested, killed, or aborted. Women get raped, battered, and abused. Spouses are abandoned by their unfaithful partners. Drunk drivers maim and kill innocent bystanders, and even the drivers. But somehow they survive without even a scratch. Gossip and slander ruin the hard-earned reputation. Fanatic religious terrorists kill and blow up the people in the name of their false god. You're thinking, life is good. Here is a coronavirus that brought the nation and the world to screeching halt. The list goes on. The pain of the unjust suffering is one of the severest trials we can enter into. During this fiery trials that is allowed by God, did you hear what I said? It is allowed by God. Some walk away from the Lord because they become bitter toward Him, and then their lives turn into chaos and ashes. Others run to God and seek His face and find the strength and the shelter in Him. With a tempered and unshakable faith, it has been said, everything can be shaken from a man but one thing, the last human freedom. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. We cannot control whether we will be treated fairly today or tomorrow. But we can certainly choose how we will respond. Our attitude is something we can control, no matter the circumstance. Resentment, hostility, bitterness, and revenge, those are the common attitudes that people choose when they are mistreated. God, however, has a different choice in mind for His children. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank You for the time we are allowed to have Your word in our heart, not just now, but every day, every moment. Though we are part away from each other because of this coronavirus, Father, we are asking You to speak to us as a church. It doesn't matter where we are located. The church is the people, not the building. Father, we are asking You to speak to us, anoint our heart to hear, so that we may hear from You. And we may choose our attitude that glorify Your holy name. Father, we pray for the President Trump. He has a big task to do, take care of this coronavirus situation. Give him wisdom, give him the obedient heart, and give his people who are handling his order with an immense amount of the anointing that comes from You, so that they may do everything right according to Your will. Father, we pray for all the politicians and the judges. Stop bickering, rather they may do what is right for the nation, ultimately for You. We pray for our troops and first responders, police and firefighters, those who risk their lives for our lives. We're asking You to protect them. And we're asking Your anointing to be upon the one who speaks, that he may only speak Your word, not his own opinion. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Joseph did what was right. If you remember last chapter, he did the right thing by running away from the Mrs. Potiphar, who was practically throwing herself to him. He suffered for it. He refused Mrs. Potiphar's sexual advance, so she concocted a wild lie of rape that sent him to prison. From a free man to slave, and now to a prisoner. Joseph's freedom was progressively stripped away. Everything about his circumstances seemed to indicate that had been forgotten by both God and people. Now Joseph faced the greatest test. He had to exercise the only freedom left to him, the freedom to choose his attitude. I find the three kinds of mistreatment. Number one, undeserved treatment from family. Even in the best families, you won't escape the pain. Because parents are not perfect, your siblings, your brothers and sisters are not perfect, and most of all, you are not perfect. Second mistreatment is unexpected restriction from the circumstances. Mistreatment confines us either physically or emotionally. We may be in the situation where we cannot fight back or change things. These unexpected restrictions are painful. This is a good example. You couldn't go around the way you want. You couldn't buy the toilet paper as many as you want. It happens. Restriction can come upon us without any announcement. Third kind of the mistreatment is an untrue accusation from people. We all know how painful it is when we are the ones who are in the receiving end of the vicious gossip. Many of you have been there, done that. In one day, it's a careless, untrue statement can completely destroy a reputation that took entire lifetime. If you ever wondered whether the Bible deals with a real life situation, the story of Joseph should remove any doubts. So far, Joseph's life contained three categories of mistreatment, such as his brother hated him so much that sold him into slavery. And he was sold to the captain of a guard of the Potiphar, Mr. Potiphar, as a slave. And he was falsely accused by his master's wife with a rape charge. Once again, Joseph was thrown from privileged position into the pit. Only this time, instead of the dry well of Dothan, it was a dark dungeon in Egypt, without knowing any date of release. You know, prison inmate, when I was involved in the prison ministry, if you ask them when do you get out, and they will tell you exactly how many days. If it's a long time, they will tell you how many months. They know the date of release. For Joseph's case, no release date. After all, he was imprisoned and it seems like he was forgotten by his own God. He could have said, "Why, God? What have I done? Why are you punishing me for doing the right thing for you? Where is God in all this?" As a matter of fact, I saw the article says, "Why God?" And in the news lately. People ask that. Whenever things go wrong, the first thing they ask is, "Why God?" Verse 1 of chapter 40, please. "It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And the Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while." Stop there, please. It is usually easy to see God in the good things when good things happening around us. But what about the time when the things unfair things happen? As we have noticed in our last study, the Lord was with Joseph and blessed him with kindness even in jail. And jailkeeper, the keeper of the prison, also noticed the hand of God was upon Joseph and left everything on him. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Joseph, he would walk around in a keychain on his belt, dangling all the keys to the prison gate and the prison doors. But he was a prisoner. First and foremost in Joseph's life is his trust in God. And if God has chosen to allow him to be in prison, Joseph sees that as a sovereign right. He doesn't argue with God or take it bitterly. Instead, he recognized that God's hand is in it, and humbly approached his new restriction as another opportunity for God to work in his life. You know, it takes a spiritual maturity, a person with a spiritual maturity to do this kind of thing. Because of that, God is able to use him providentially in the lives of two men in prison. I know a young lady who gone through a lot of difficulties. On top of all, she has this illness, can be practically terminal. I get a text. She prays God. And I'm in awe of that young lady's maturity. Not many people can do that kind of thing. When you're facing that, the fact that you have a terminal illness and you still praise God. Go down to verse 5, please. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, each man's dream with its own interpretation. Joseph came in to them and in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked the Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And he said to him, and they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not the interpretation belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Stop there, please. It's easy for Joseph to think that because of all the wrongs done against him, he could care less about others and is cynical to everyone and everything. Maybe you are going through a difficult time. Maybe you are going through in such a way that you are bitter toward people, bitter toward God. Instead, Joseph extended his kindness to the butler and baker by asking them, "How are they doing?" Notice that Joseph was not taking the credit of the interpretation of their dreams. He put the credit where it belongs, God. You see, God may certainly speak through the dreams. However, not every dream is a revelation from God. Too much pizza or the too spicy burrito can come up with the weird dreams. We must be careful about putting too much weight or emphasis on dreams. But we now have something absolutely reliable, the Word of God. You know your Bible, then I guarantee you will hear from God. As long as you keep it in context. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. If you're watching this in your living room and you're thinking, he's not watching, seeing me not turning the Bible, go ahead, turn your Bible anyway. Verse 7. For in the multitude of the dreams, many words, there is also vanity. But what does it say? Fear God. What does it mean, fear God? Is that something being scared of God? No. Be reverent to God. Back to chapter 40, verse 9, please. Then chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were the three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its cluster brought forth a ripe grape. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grape and pressed them into the Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in the Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, the Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me," note this guys, verse 14, "remember me when it is well with you, please show kindness to me. make a mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Verse 15. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. There was a three white basket on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for the Pharaoh. The birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. Three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, the Pharaohs will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree. The bird will eat your flesh from you. Stop, please. Usually, it's something you should notice. In context, whenever Bible mentions the bird, it's not a good thing. Usually, it's in context of the demonic things. No doubt this is exciting news to the butler. And Joseph sees the possibility of something good in it for himself as well. As we can see in verses 14 and 15, remind us that Joseph was just real flesh and blood human being, not some pristine saint whose feet never touched the ground. Joseph wasn't just faithful to deliver the horrifying interpretation as he was to deliver good one. This is the mark of a godly preacher who does not fail to bring the whole counsel of God. How many there are who are willing to preach the butler's sermons but not willing to preach the baker's sermon nowadays? They will give a feel-good sermon, but they will not give a repentance sermon. If you're looking for a church that preaches the word of God, and look for a preacher who is willing to teach the whole counsel of God, not just feel-good messages. The problem is that not what they say, or rather, what they don't say. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, rather. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Did you notice something here? Teachers are not the one who are gathering people. The people are the one who is willing to listen to these conniving teachers, false teachers. Back to chapter 40, verse 20, please. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored chief butler to his butlership again. He placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted them. Yet chief butler did not remember Joseph forgot him. 3 days later, everything happened just as Joseph said. Butler go back to serving the Pharaoh, and chief baker became a food for the birds. This brought some hopeful expectation in Joseph's mind. In his daydream, he can already see that Joseph would tell his Pharaoh, you know, I met this Hebrew boy in prison. He's the one who give me an interpretation that what would happen. And he is a good boy. He got in there with a false rape charge. So in his mind, Joseph was already packing his luggage and ready to go back home. I'm sure the butler, before he left the prison, shaking his hand, I don't know if they did a high five or not, as he was leaving, I'll remember you. I will talk to the Pharaoh so you can get out of prison. But there is only problem. One problem, though. Butler had a short memory. He had a green belly moment for 2 whole years. God was ultimately going to use Butler's short memory to deliver Joseph, but it's not the right time yet. Butler forgot Joseph, but God did not forget Joseph. There are two important observations we should mention here about Joseph's situation. Number one, he was abandoned by friend. If the enemy abandoned you, you expect that. You know, enemy, naturally, they would do it. But when it's a friend, it's a completely different story. It's hurtful. Some of you might have been there or going through this kind of abandonment from someone you cared and loved dearly. Once you wanted to share your life with that person and you pour out everything into that person's life, now you are staring at a space. Staring at space because that person took off with someone else. And your home looks so empty and big. Or maybe you started a business with a partner, someone you trusted, only to find out that friend has been siphoning profit out of your company and took off and then now left you high and dry with a gigantic debt. What that person have done cut you deeply and hurt you exceedingly. You may think that wound is never going to heal and you'll never get back being normal again and be loved by someone again. Take a heart in God. Take a heart in God. Because He knows what's going on in your life exactly. He is going to use this hurt and wound to bring you up to where He wants. He will strengthen you and will help you and will give you peace beyond your wildest imagination. Second observation we must make is the abandonment was for a lengthy period. Sometimes we get upset when we neglect for even a minute. You know, the biggest problem with the millennials have nowadays is when they don't get liked in the Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. They get devastated. Really. Because they thrive in the getting being liked by somebody. According to what we just read, Joseph was abandoned for 2 long years. Our natural response to this kind of experience is to feel disillusioned, betrayed. First, with the person who abandoned us, then with God. If we keep replaying those sins, they will begin to harden our heart with utter bitterness. There is one person who would understand better than anyone else. Do you know who that is? Jesus. Jesus understands what we go through because He experienced the ultimate abandonment by His own Father when He took up all of our sin upon His shoulder on the cross. He did it so that we may never have to be abandoned by our God because of our own rejection of Him through our sins. It is true. It is true. Everything can be taken from us except one precious freedom to choose our attitude. Because the basis of our attitude is trustworthy of God. With us being on our God's side, I didn't say God being on our side. It is important to distinguish those things. God would not be on our side. We should be on God's side. All the mistreatment of the world that cannot produce, cannot reduce our hope in God to the ashes of the disillusionment. I have one application, simple one. Next time when you feel forgotten, forsaken, or disillusioned, remember that there is one who is trustworthy. That's Jesus. He will never leave you and nor forsake you. So keep your chin up and knees down. A.W. Tozer said once, God cannot use someone greatly unless He first break him thoroughly. In your sermon note that I sent it out to you yesterday afternoon, there are several verses that you need to think about and read for your further study. Deuteronomy 31:6, Isaiah 42:16, Psalm 37:3-6, and 28, Matthew 28, verse 20b, Psalm 118, 9 through, 5 through 9, Hebrews 13, 5, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Listen, if you are going through this kind of a difficult time, we would like to pray for you. But don't expect that we would know what you're going through when you don't tell us. We are not omniscient like God. You may not want us to know the detail. That's okay. We don't need to know what you're going through. You just tell us you have an unspoken prayer request. We just want to pray for you and be there for you if you are going, if you need us. You can send an email to us, prayerccos@gmail.com. Or you can send a prayer text to 520-203-4263. God is there for you all the time, and we will be there with you in prayer. Give us a call or send us email, send us text. You don't have to go through this by yourself. So may the Lord bless you, keep you, make His face shining upon you, and be gracious to you. And He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. You are our encourager. You are our strong tower when we are worn out, when we lose strength. You are the one who gives us strength and hope. Let us turn to You and find peace and comfort. We love You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.